Welcome to episode 294. And first of all, my voice is a little bit jacked up. I've got some sort of, I don't know if it's the flu, but I don't feel that bad body-wise, achy-wise, but my voice is a bit jacked up. Regardless, we're going to plow through this one today, and I'm delighted to have on, again, Optasia Squash Championship women's winner, Satomi Watanabe. And I say again, because it's actually her first appearance, but our second go at it. We had some technical issues about a week and a half or so ago, and Satomi, along with her coach, Tiago Gorielli, were kind enough to agree to do it again. So huge props to them and many thanks. And anyway, so happy to have her on to talk about her big win at Optasia, her backstory, and of course, her dream of growing the game throughout Asia. We're going to talk about all of that and more, I hope. Speaking of growing the game, though, I'm always happy to be talking about our great sponsor, Open Squash, whose mission is to grow our game and to make squash accessible to everyone. Open Squash sponsors the very best in the game today. World number 7, Gina Kennedy. World number 10, Victor Quinn. Hannah Craig, also inside the top 100. And of course, world number 1, Ali Farag. In fact, Ali, along with Harvard head coach Mike Way, have taken on senior advisors roles for Open Squash. And with summer fast approaching, you'll definitely want to take a look at the great summer squash camps that Open Squash has to offer. The camps will be headed by the aforementioned Harvard head coach Mike Way, former world number 1 Drexel head coach and friend of the podcast Johnny White, along with Gina, Victor, and several other highly respected coaches there to lead the way. Visit opensquash.org and sign up for the camp that fits your skill set needs. Also, you want to check this out. Open Squash is very excited to be partnering up with American squash court manufacturer Sunrise Courts. Jordan Aldrich and his team at Sunrise will be ready to assist you with your squash court needs. Check out the website at sunrise-courts.com and avail yourself of a free court setup estimate. That's sunrise-courts.com. Now, here we go. Episode 293 with this year's Optasia Squash Championship ladies winner, Satomi Watanabe. Mix things up a bit, but right, Satomi, it's fantastic, and also Tiago, Satomi's coach, fantastic to have you guys back on the pod. This is actually your first, but also second appearance. I want to say thanks for doing this, because the last time around we had a couple of technical issues, and they were on me. So really appreciate you coming back on today, Satomi. And how's everything going for you?
First of all, thanks for inviting. I'm doing okay. A little bit busy with studying at the moment, but yeah.
Yeah, that's my students as well. It's exam time, but they have, as you might know, it's Ramadan in the UAE, so they have a week off. So as soon as they get back, they have final exams. I'm just hoping that they study over the week. Tells me they might not, but I'm sure if you were one of the students, you would have been studying. But now I wanted to.
I'm not so sure about that.
Oh, Tiago, really?
I do study for exams.
Most of the Asian students that I've had in the past have been exemplary students. So I'm sure Satomi falls into sort of maybe into that category. But anyways, Satomi, I just wanted to, first of all, as I said last time, congrats on your big win there at Optasia. You really sort of captivated the squash community with your performance throughout the week there. It was fantastic. It's been a few weeks now. You've even had the London Squash Classic, which you played in since then. So now the dust has truly settled from that winning experience. So just wondering now, how does that all feel, having won a big event like that right now?
I think I was really happy, and it's almost like I thought it was one of my like sleeping dream, that it's not real. But and also because to beat my opponent in the final, it was Nella Gillis, and then there was someone that I've not won before. So, yeah, I think I'm really pleased with how I play, and also, yeah, I'm really glad that I win the tournament. I was really happy.
Yeah, brilliant. And I was going to ask you, talking about Nayla, you'd taken games from her before, never beaten her before, but obviously in that event, you'd been throughout the event building up, like building momentum. You had a great comeback against Melissa, and then you had a sort of an easier match against Jasmine, who I think might have been injured. I'm not sure, or a little bit before that match. But anyways, that sort of building momentum heading into that final, and maybe Tiago, you might want to chime in after Satomi here a bit. How confident were you feeling heading into that match?
Against Nella?
Yeah.
I don't think I wasn't really confident to actually win against her, I'd say. But I think I just really wanted to win on that day. So it's almost like fighting spirit that bring me the probably the mentality I really need on that day. And yeah, and also like this is one of my weakness, but I always doubt myself, or I'm not really trying to be humble, but I'm always not believing that I can actually win against those top players sometimes. But yeah, this time I had my sister was there, and then Tiago was there to say that you have ability, and then they both believed in me. So yeah, I think that helped me as well to actually believe that I can be like win this time. So yeah, I think both that I really wanted to win, that kind of feeling, and also the trust or belief that I can actually win was probably the key to win that match.
Yeah, there were periods throughout that match where you could see that you were, as you said, you might have had a little bit of, not that much confidence heading in, but throughout the match, your confidence you could see was building, particularly once you saw your game plan, which I think you had before the match, started to work. So when during the match did you start maybe to feel that the confidence starting to grow?
I think it was really crucial to take the first game. I think because that's something I've never done it before. I always lost the first two game, and then only get the third game when she starts to maybe a little bit get feel more almost like too comfortable that she's 2 level up, and then sort of like she just lose her concentration. That's the part when I usually get my game. But this time, because I get the first game, I think it definitely boosts my confidence, and also I think it was also probably I didn't ask about this to Nella, but I feel like she was all a little bit struggling after that she lost the first game mentally, I think. So I think yeah, so the first game was probably the most crucial part in that game, I mean that match.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the first game, and I'm a bit older, so my short-term memory isn't quite what it used to be. But it doesn't look. I don't remember you playing that front court game that the with the winners as much in the first game compared to how you did it later in the match, where it was very effective. What was it in the first game, do you think, that allowed you to take it?
I think my first game plan was to be really, really patient. I almost telling myself that it doesn't really matter I lost this game, but I just really need to build up the rally, the build up the game to actually be really patient, that I'm not going for shots this time. So I was almost trying to, because I usually, so the reason why I always lost the game was my error counts went up. And so I was this time I was just Okay, I'm going to make this really hard for my opponent that I don't make the mistake, I don't make the error, but I'll be there patiently playing the. I think Nella likes the length, like the long rally to the back of the court. So I was like, it's almost like I'm telling myself it's okay, I'm going to play with at your field first just to build that the back court so that in the maybe second or third game, the front court shot will work, even if I don't have to take so much risk as well. Yeah, that
Very
was my
thoughtful.
game plan.
Very thoughtful. Very thoughtful. It's a game of chess out there, isn't
Yeah.
it? Tiago, I want you to chime in if you don't mind. Just wondering, after that first game, in between games, how did you approach things?
Well, I think just when you look at the preparation even of the tournament and the match, this is like obviously she was well prepared and she analyzed all the players usually. But also it's quite important to see that it's the preparation starts before, right? So what I say between the games is based on what we worked on also the weeks before and the confidence and the trust that we've built, right? So we had a game plan. Which she was doing perfectly. So it's always good to see, because it's not always the case. When you work in like you work and you build a game plan, it doesn't mean that the game plan is applied all the time because it could be like a lot of pressure. You've got an opponent who just plays a different way. And so with that first game, the idea was like, right, you've done what we've worked on. You've done what we thought was the right thing to do. And now, basically, continue to do what you do and continue to trust what you're doing while adding a little bit more. So, like the idea was, as she said, you build the stairs, right? So, you build the foundations to build this momentum and to kind of get even more and more confidence. And so, the idea was now that you've got a bit more confidence, you add a little bit more weapons, you add a little bit more to this while not risking. So, you keep this kind of like, unforced errors very low, and you continue to build while attacking a bit more and while making doubts like bringing more doubts into your mind and showing that while you're retrieving everything in your patient, you're adding a more op like more options to the game slowly and slowly without rushing it. And I think that was feasible because she trusted that she could actually win and could continue the whole match without even like risking, right? Because you can't play the patient game if you feel like you're going to be dead after five rallies.
That's impressive that Satomi had the self-belief when she feels maybe not confident heading in, but she had the self-belief to go out there and play a Nayla at her game in the first game.
Yeah, and I think and that's where the preparation is, right? So like it's about showing her, because if I tell her you can do it, that's not enough. She's got to see it in the previous matches that she's got it. She's got to train hard enough to know that she's got the fitness to do it and then also the skills to do it. And then once she's got that, then even if she wants to doubt herself, I'm like, look at the facts, right? These are the facts. Now it's time to just show what you can do, right?
It's all about the facts, right, Satomi? It's all.
Yeah,
So,
sounds
Satomi, are
very
you fit
easy,
enough?
but
Are you are you fit these days? Really fit now? Tired.
I've yeah, but I think I'm still building on it, I guess.
You can never be
I'm
fit enough, right? You can always.
no no, but I think I get fitter than previous me myself, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough to stay fit too, I would imagine. I mean, when you're attempting to, but you don't, I think if memory serves, the first time around you said you don't have finals, right? You don't have a final exam per se. You have your
No.
semester's coming to an end.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I remember taking final exams and staying up all night and just drinking coffee. So that's not good,
Yeah.
is
Yeah, that's not really
it?
yeah helping. But like sometimes when I'm really, really had to do, then I will. But I try not to do it. I try not to make it to the last minute so I don't have to do it.
Smart. That's
Yeah.
smart. Now,
To be fair, her distinction, she even manages to get her revenge, right? So, because she's doing she's I'm making her run a lot, but she's using me to do some tests, to run some tests. Like, so I had to jump on the treadmill and I had to do a better session.
Okay.
And I did one recently where I was sick, but I still did it. I ended up in the toilet throwing up. So she's got her revenge also. Like, so it's also enjoyable sometimes to do a dissertation sometimes.
That's perfect. Yeah, it works both ways there. Yeah. Now, Satomi, I wanted to, this sort of just came to mind as I was preparing for this. Now, obviously before Optasia, you and the year prior, you'd had some really good results, but now you're one of the big winners of one of the major events on the tour. Maybe prior to maybe the last couple of years, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just, this is a thought that came to me. I mean, you were top 20, top 30, and with that, maybe you fly under the radar. So you come into a match against the top players, and of course, all the top players, that's why they're the best. They take everyone seriously, but maybe sometimes they let their guard down. But that's not going to be the case anymore for you now, is it?
Yeah, I think that was a really good example of me playing the London Classic this time.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that Hania took it really seriously about my squash, and I really appreciate it, to be honest, that world number two is not underestimating me. I think that's something that I can say that I'm proud of. But I think it's gonna be, it's not just that as well, that now I'm playing on the squash TV, so like I'm doing, like analyzing the players, and I'm pretty sure any other players can do that as well. So I feel like it's gonna get more difficult to actually win or like play my plan game, because they'll be more prepared. So I think that's the right.
I think also that what's interesting is that you talked about when she was top 30 and top 20, and the players were not as ready. I think for her, I think maybe she didn't feel that way, but when I talked to other players, and you analyze some of the matches, you can see that a lot of them were already quite scared, because she's got a different game. She's got this explosivity. She's got the hard, she's got a lot of pace in her ball. So I could see that even last year and 2 years ago, people were already struggling to play her, but she did not have this self-belief, and also she needed probably more time on tour to kind of like get used to it. But now I think the problem is she's shown that she can do it till the end. I think that's one thing. And so that consistency can be there for like a whole tournament. But also, as you just said, the problem is now that you're good and you're a lot on squash TV, all your weaknesses and strength are on TV, and they can watch it over and over again. So it's going to be about adapting and changing, evolving, to make sure that what they see from the past can be either improved or changed, or like having different plans. Like that one, she had a plan against Nele, it worked. But everyone has seen this plan, right? They've seen what she can do. So what can you add on the table? What can you bring on the table to make sure that you can beat all the other players who know what you can do, right? Because you said it, right? Hania was ready. And you could see that some of the shots that she was playing usually against Nela, she read it like a book. She just knew she was going to do it, because she watched the match before, right? So,
but I guess at the same time, Satomi, you've been a world ranked junior. You were one of the top juniors in the world for several years. So it's not like you just appeared either.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's a really huge difference from junior to senior squash as well. Like, especially for women's, I feel like women, I'm not saying women junior is bad or anything, but I think there's a quite big difference in the, especially the length of the match itself. Because these days, the women's game lasts for like more than an hour quite often when it comes to a really close match. But junior matches, even if you're really close against the opponent, I don't think, rarely past the 1 hour mark. So I think that actually tells the difference. So I don't think it's really important for the, obviously they'll keep an eye on you a little bit, yes, if you're top juniors, but I think the senior players know that even if it's not your best day out on the court, if you're playing the junior player, you probably win against them mentally because you have the those fitness and then those experience as well. So I think being top in the junior gives you the confidence to start competing in the seniors, but at the same time, I think you really have to learn how to play in the senior game as well. So yeah, like you said, I think ranking wise, I think I was quite at the top, but game, like the match itself was not very close to the top yet when I was junior. So yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess, obviously Hanya is an exceptional player and she prepared for your match well, but it wasn't, it was still fairly close, even though it was 3-love. It was, the games were close. But I was just going to ask you, just in terms of, there's that level. We've got the Hanyas, the Noran and Noor, and then sort of below that, I think, you're going to be very competitive. With any of the girls below that. So, what is it do you think that you need to work on to take it to that to that next level? Because right now, I think it's not a, I'm not saying anything surprising by saying it's those three and then everyone else pretty much, except for what's happened recently. I mean, Siva had a great result there, but we'll talk about that in a second. I wanted to ask you about that, but what do you need to do to put yourself in that at that top level?
I think it's definitely the consistency in the game. That's a thing, the first thing. I think there's a lot of player has a potential that can be in the top 10, but to keep that consistency is really hard. I think that's what the top three, Nora, Noran and Hania is really good at. So yeah, I think that's definitely one. And but at the same time, I think I really need to improve in my basic games, like just a straight drive across court. Those top players has variety in the straight drive. So like you play with absolute all out hard hit, but at the same time you still have the lobs, you still have the 70% straight drives, like those, and then also hitting at a different timing. Are you gonna hit it at the top where it bounces, or are you gonna hit it, wait until the ball drops is, so that you don't let your opponent see what you're gonna do in the next step? But I think I'm a little bit lacking at variation, and also like I think it's this is quite a word that you probably hear a lot on squash TV, that it's really important to have the attention to details. I think yeah, I think that's the part I really need to improve on. I'm not saying that I'm not having that, but I think it's not enough to be in the top three, I think especially. Yeah, so I think that's something I really need to work on.
Do you agree with that assessment, the self-assessment, Tiago?
Yeah, I think she's right. I think that's like I think something specific to her that she's trying to improve, but I think there's you've got other bits where I think especially in the women's game, I think the movement in the front corners and to like towards get trying to hunt for the volley is quite important also. You can see that the top three, for example, they really fly on the ball when the ball is short, and I think that's something that I think Satomi is quite good at, but there's always a next step, a next level. And I think I would add for me awareness on the court, because like we're talking about having the skills to execute something, but is it the right shot? Is it like tactically what you should be doing? can you think about, you know, playing your opponent and trying to find a solution to hurt your opponent during a match? Or are you going to just play the same game without adapting yourself and without thinking about anything else? So I think for her, sometimes she just plays without thinking. And I think thinking, you know, she talked about paying attention to details. I think that's also a part of it. You know, like you should really think about it. You know, you said one word. You said chess at some point. It really is a chess game. Like they're all fit, they're all fast, they're all good. So what makes one person win, you know, the rally? Sometimes the person is not as fit. Sometimes the shots are not as good. They're maybe not as fast, but they still win the match. And I think that's the chess game, right? And so I think building that chess game attitude, understanding where the opponent is and what to do, I think is one of the most important thing that needs to be worked on. And I think I would say for everyone, to be fair.
Yeah, excellent stuff. So Satomi, you mentioned, you know, squash, and also Tiag, you guys mentioned squash TV, and Satomi, you're going to be more, you'll be on the TV a lot more. So does that mean, I think I've spoken to Joey Barrington recently when we talked about you. He said he was thinking of a nickname. Do you have a nickname already with your friends?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Okay. I don't have it. Yeah, but it's, you know, to have a nickname on squash TV is something that you, I don't know, like quite a lot of squash player would like to have, because it's something that, you know, shows how good you are, you know, like, you know, like, yeah. So I would be really happy to have one, but well, I'll see what I get, if I can get one. But,
yeah, well, yeah. Joey did mention something when I was speaking to him, so hopefully, I mean, he'll listen to this, and then he'll next time when you play, he'll probably try it out. I won't reveal it now. He did tell. I'll let him decide, because or them, maybe Lisa or whoever it is might contribute as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's fantastic. Now, I wanted to ask you a little bit. I know you're, as we mentioned earlier, you're about to graduate with a degree in sports science. And, you know, that's fantastic that you've taken that route. What are your plans maybe after you graduate or in the future? What are you planning to do with your degree?
After I graduate, I'm trying to play squash to focus. And also because I think it's one of the only chance in my life to actually try to be in Olympics in 2028. So that's my biggest goal at the moment. But obviously to get to that goal, I really have to go through all the small steps and small goals as well. But by taking the sports science degree, I really hope that it can actually help me. Yes, I think for another probably 4 years, I obviously will try to help if someone comes up to me and ask me something. Like, especially, I hope it's going to be the juniors from Japan or someone that who's really trying to be in the top players. I would really love to help. But I think at the moment, what I'm thinking from what I do with the degree is probably to help me to, I don't know, grow as an athlete, to have those knowledge. I think it's something that really is already helping me throughout these 3 years to actually know about something that I kind of know that there is something with to do with psychology or something to do with body, but I wasn't really sure the details in it. Like I didn't know that the fact behind it or something, or theory behind it. Now that I have learned some theories or some background, some Basic knowledge. It's still going to be basic because it's just undergrads, it's not masters. So I'm not really so much into detail, but I still learn really a lot from the undergrad's degree. So I think I'm hoping that those knowledge can actually help me to get to where I want to be in like 4 years' time.
Yeah, brilliant. We did see last week that the Siva Subramaniam, she went out and pretty, I mean, she just played unbelievable squash, and you know her game. I mean, she's very, very talented and dynamic, and she's got everything. She, I think, maybe like a little bit like you, she maybe she suffered from self. She didn't believe in herself as much, and I think she brought on Jesse Engelbrecht as her like sports psychologist or sports mental coach. And I've had him on the podcast before, and he's really, really good at what he does. So just wondering what you thought of her performance in that event, if you watched it, and how impressed were you with just what she was able to do?
So Siva and I know each other since we were like 10 years old. Yeah, so we grew up together playing squash, and obviously at one point I lived in Malaysia, so I see her every single tournament or every single small tournament. And I think I don't know how many times I play against her, but unfortunately I only win against her twice or three times out of like 50 meetings. 50 is like 5-0, not 1-5. Yes, that's how good she was from the beginning. Actually, I think she was my first opponent when I played the obviously junior tournament in Penang, and she absolutely chopped me in that match. Yeah, and then I think, but so she, I don't know whether she know it or she didn't know it, but she's a probably the first player that really gave me the impact of, okay, this is the actual squash. Like, that's the first time I feel and I saw and I play against somebody who's the top in that junior category. And before that, all I know was just all the Japanese players. I never knew how everyone else plays, how the top players, because in that, still when I first start the squash, there wasn't squash TV, or like there isn't like a lot of technology like this. So I had like Rachel Grinham and Nicole David's final DVD. Not, there's nothing I can search on the Google and then go and find
No,
for it.
no
I
more
have to
YouTube. No
get the
YouTube
DVD.
back then.
No, like I had to have the DVD, which is quite surprising that how far the technology became. But yeah, moving on. And yeah, so obviously, so I know Siva like l for a long time, and then she's been always my really a good friend. And then yeah, she's obviously someone that I always look up to in a way. I'm hoping to stand next to her, but I think she's almost like someone I'm always look up to. And the way she's trained, the way she approached to squash is really, I think she's really disciplined. And then yeah, something that I really, really want to learn from. She and I also really I this is the part I really, really wanna learn from her. She Even if she's playing tough game, tough match, tough opponent, she finds the way to always enjoy squash. I think if you see the squash TV this tournament, I'm pretty sure I think everyone saw her smiling at some point during the match, even if she's playing the really tough game. So I think that's what makes a really, really strong player as well. Like she's enjoying squash itself, how to build the game and how to play, how to, outplan those top players. Like she's enjoying it a lot. So, But on the other hand, sometimes I just get so stressed about it. And then, I think some people, quite a lot of people, when it comes to winning and stuff, I think sometimes people forget about enjoying the actual game. But I feel like she always enjoyed it. So yeah, I think she definitely has a really, really big impact on me, because I don't think I get this far, to be honest, if she wasn't there from the beginning. So yeah, I think I really appreciate to have her in my age, because we born in same year, same month.
I'm glad I brought this up. I didn't re I knew that you were in Malaysia, and I'd completely forgotten that there was that connection. So that's amazing. Thiago, just wondering, I mean, you saw, obviously you might know Jesse a little bit. What kind of impact do you think he had on Siva? I mean, he's her mental, she referred to him as her mental coach.
Well, to be honest, I don't, I'm not really sure, because I haven't really like analyzed enough Siva yet. I know Jesse, and I think all I can say is that Jesse is someone who's proactive and is continually trying to innovate and, bring something new to squash, right? I've had chats with good players like Camille Serme, telling me that if they had one thing that would change in their game is, putting more effort into their, mental preparation. And that's what Jesse is like trying to focus on with Siva, for example. So I've got no doubts that the impact is huge, because once you've got the belief, once you got your mind ready to execute what you should be doing, it's got to have an impact. But I don't know the details of their, work together, and I think that's between them, because obviously I did
I
not.
think it's fairly, I mean, you could just tell during the tournament, and I could be off on this, but you could just tell during the tournament, like as Satomi said, she always had a smile on her face, even in the rallies. Like it almost felt like, she was really enjoying the moment of.
I've seen her smiling also, like during other matches, right? So I think it's that, as Satomi said, she just enjoys the game. But I think what is also like potentially good is the fact that she's had someone in her corner. You've got someone in your corner that you trust, that is here for you. It's not always the case for squash players, right? Usually they sometimes help each other, because they build a friendship on tour. But the guy who's helping you is the next day is your rival, right? So it's different to have someone just there for you, and you've got, that full trust, and you can work together. And I think that's by itself is huge for someone like Siva or any other player, to have someone in your corner during the tournament.
Yeah, I guess Satomi, I'll ask you this then. And we saw with Siva and her win, when she would just look at Jesse and kind of give the fist pump or point to her head or whatever. Did you have that? I mean, and also noticed that you had a similar experience with Thiago during those matches. So you kind of look into the corner every now and then and get the feeling of they're there for me.
I think I'm learning it at the moment, I would say. Because the reason behind this is because I always play alone in a way. I always had my little notes, and then just that's it. And then so I didn't really had someone in my corner until I think Optasia was one of the tournament that I had quite a lot of people in my corner. And I think it's such a great feeling to have, when you look back, when you're a little bit worried or a little bit doubting yourself, that, when you look back, that they look at you and then said, it's all right, like there's nothing wrong with it, or like some. So, but then when it's just by myself, then I just keep doubting myself. So, but yeah, and then, and also, like, even if when I win the point, they also like seems almost like it's not just happy in a way. They almost like feeling how I feel on court, out of the court. So yeah, I think it's really huge impact when you play, and then to have someone in your corner,
Yeah, I guess
then like.
if in between games as well, if you're sitting there alone and then you see over there Rob Owen talking to Naylor, and he's like, uh-oh.
It can sometimes give you a little bit of like, okay, now they probably have like another plan to do something. What do I do?
Yeah, what am I going to do now? Yeah, but this is really good stuff. I mean, we could talk about this for hours, but I want to move on just a little bit because I know you have some heavy training. Tega was telling me you got a how many court sprints today? Well, okay,
it's going to be more
ghosting.
ghosting
Okay, great.
today,
But before I do let you, maybe the longer we go, the better. So tell me.
probably.
But you got yours. Obviously, you come from Yokohama, Japan, and I played at the Yokohama Club a couple of times. Really fantastic facility there. I played a couple of tournaments there, and I loved it. What was it like for you growing up in those early days as a squash player in Japan? And how did you get your start, basically?
So I think to be a squash player in Japan is quite rare, I have to say, because in Japan squash isn't a very major sport. So yeah, I think and then also when I was small, I was a really active kid. So I used to do like dancing ballads, gymnastics, swimming, those stuff that I only use my body. And at one point, one of my friend's mom used to play squash, and then she's like, "Do you want to try something to do with equipment, like having something in your hand?" And then I've never tried it before. I was like, "Yeah, I'll give it a go. You know, I'll try something new." And when I started, obviously squash is not an easy sport, so yeah, so I missed a lot of balls. I didn't really hit the ball at the beginning. So, and I was really, really upset about it. 'Cause I to be honest, like I was always some kind of kid that can do up to like without any can do some like gymnastics or swimming without any struggles. In a way,
Would you say you were fairly athletic then?
yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I think, yeah, not the best, but like average, or probably slightly above average. Yeah, but like squash was not my thing, definitely. Yeah, so but I think that's how I get into squash because I wanted to improve more. I wanted to actually play the game and stuff. So yeah, I think that's how I get into squash. And then but when I started, it was just, you know, 1 week once kind of hobby sports. And then I think I was lucky to have where I went the first point, that club has quite few national players like Misaki, Ryosei, and other Japanese national players.
Yeah, the Kobayashis. Yes.
And then their father actually watched me playing on one of the court, just, you know, swinging the racket without hitting the ball, but run a lot of running.
Okay.
And yeah, and then he's like, "I think you have the potential." Well, I don't really know how he see the potential in there, but I'm really glad he found it. Yeah,
Yeah.
so he's like, "You have the potential, so would you like to try and playing squash as like an actual sports, not just a hobby?" And at that point, I actually doing ballet quite seriously. So I was doing ballet almost every day, not squash. And at one point, I had to decide which one to take, and then I took squash, which I don't regret it. I think I loved it as well. So yeah, I think that's how I get started. And yeah, growing up in Japan as a squash player is quite tough, I have to say. Still, it's
Yeah,
not
I would
very
imagine.
easy.
I mean, you've only, you're only really able to compete against other players like other Japanese players in Korea, China,
Yeah.
not very household names in squash, although they're also attempting to grow their own programs a lot like Japan, right?
Yeah, so and then even though playing against those top players in Asia, it's almost like always the same person I see them on the tournament. So it's almost like you know what to expect and then you know how to play against them. Yeah, so I think to grow as an athlete or as a squash player in Japan or in Asia still probably needs some improvement, as the whole, probably the system or whole, structure. But yeah, so that's why I moved to. But I think still in Asia, like Malaysia, Hong Kong, India probably has like a really good squash system or squash facility. So that's why I moved to Malaysia to play squash. So yeah, definitely Japan still working on the building up the foundation part of the system.
Well, we have coming up at the end of the year in Hong Kong, the World Team Championships, men and women together. And obviously, you must be really excited about that. So I just wanted to ask you before you go, how does the Japanese women's team look? And who's coaching the team over there right now?
So I think the Japanese women's team, firstly, will look like I'll be first at the moment, and then I think there's two young players, which is Akari. She's only 18 at the moment. She's
Okay.
probably turning 19 this year, and also Elisa Brooke Herling. She's half Canadian, but she represents Japan, and she's also trying to play PSA tournaments and then have some experience to play against those top players. And another player who's called Risa. She's older than me actually, but she's been playing for a long time, so she's really experienced. And then is someone that we definitely need in the team. Yeah, but I think because it's still a young team, so we won't be very, very strong, but I think we still have the potential to compete against those top teams. I'm just hoping to give a go how far we can get to. Hoping to be first of all, get into the top eight draw. Because I assume it's going to start from the pool event and then moving on to the quarterfinal kind of draw. So I think we were quite close last time to get into the top eight, the final draw. So this time hopefully we can get through to the quarterfinal at the first point, and then we'll see how far we can get to. Well, that's something I'm hoping for.
I think I don't know how many years ago it was, but Hong Kong did quite well. I think they might have gotten to the semifinals, maybe back when Rebecca Chu was there, and Annie Yao might have been on that team as well. So that's sort of the bar that the Asian bar is set at right there, maybe.
Yeah, I would say so. But I feel like Malaysia, Hong Kong probably has even have the potential to be in the top four. So, I'm just well, not just me, but hopefully the whole Japan Squash Association is aiming to, get closer to where they are at the moment, and also like having a strong team enough to actually compete against Hong Kong, Malaysia, or like even Egypt or USA.
No, exactly. I mean, and with the results that you're putting together, it's going to inspire Japanese players, both on the men's and women's side. So it looks good, Satomi. And you know what else looks good? The squash court, because Tiago's got some court sprints ready for you. Sprints, or why not sprints? They're harder.
So I said there's going to be more ghosting. I didn't say there was no court sprints.
Oh, okay, good.
I kind of knew that it's coming. But yeah,
But
we'll see
Tiago
about
and
that in hours.
sorry guys, Tiago and Satomi, really appreciate you doing this again, and it was fantastic speaking with you again. All the best going
Thank you.
forward for the rest of the season.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thanks so much.
And
Thanks so much for having me.
thank you for having us. And also, I keep saying it, it's really good to have people like you who are helping us grow the sport. So I think, yeah, that I don't think people say thank you enough. But I said it last time, I will still say it. Thanks a lot for your work. I really appreciate what you're doing, and that helps us for a lot. Like, it helps a lot, even though people don't see it sometimes. And so I think we should also thank you for your work. So thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Diego. Take care, guys.
Yeah,
Thank
bye
you.
bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.